arms crossed against his massive chest. Those golden eyes of his took in my anger without so much as a single flinch. Adam scratched his dark head and scuffed his feet at the floor, like a child being berated for misbehaving. "Where am I?" I asked softly, realizing I was in a bed, a very big, soft bed.
"We're in the club's sublevels. You passed out,"
Ryder said, never taking those dangerous eyes from mine. "I don't pass out," I said obtusely.
"You did,"
he replied, with his lips jerking up into a wolfish grin. "Whatever. Are we done here? I need a shower," I grumbled, feeling dirty for being in any bed around him.
"You need to finish reading the contract. You stay with me until this is finished, inside my estate,"
Ryder growled, his eyes daring me to challenge him. I did the only thing I could. I challenged him. "Screw that. I'm not staying alone with you, ever." I folded my arms over my chest, aiming for the most stubborn look I could make while sitting in an oversized bed of black silk. His eyes took me in, raking heat up my body as he did so. I was up and out of the bed before he could comment. Only then did I notice I wasn't in my jeans, and my flimsy black panties were not enough protection from Ryder. I doubted full armor would be enough to protect me against his eyes. "Who the hell stole my pants?" I barked, jumping back into bed, much to the amusement of the two men in the room. Adam coughed and tilted his head in Ryder's direction. Ryder turned his head, giving Adam a look that would make most men run, then growled low in his chest. Adam turned to leave me alone with him. "Adam, don't you dare," I yelped. But Adam was already at the door and only threw me a sheepish grin before he was gone.
"You think that boy could protect you from me?"
Ryder inquired, letting his arms drop to his side. He'd changed. His jeans rode low on his hips, and the long-sleeved white shirt was open far enough to expose his well-muscled chest and a peek of the tattoos he was covered in. As he stepped closer, I realized he was also barefoot. "Maybe," I whispered, trying to backpedal. This wasn't happening. I watched as he stopped at the end of the opulent bed. It was big enough to fit seven bodies on it. What the hell was up with him and his orgy-sized beds? He didn't get on the bed. Instead, his eyes raked over me slowly, intensely, hungrily. Chills crept down my spine, my mouth dried up, and the scream in my throat sat paralyzed on the verge of coming out.
"Get over it. You said you are not a victim. You came highly recommended for this job. If you are not useful for it, I will find something you are useful for."
His eyes lowered to my lips. I stuck out my tongue and then almost bit it off when he smiled. Guy needed to get knocked around a little, break his nose or something. He had a masculine beauty that left me boneless. Those wicked lips kept haunting me. His eyes had the eerie glow to them once more. It was a look I didn't want to see on any fae. I swallowed and refused to lower my gaze from his. "I'm not defined by what your people did to my parents, but I'm not stupid either," I said after what felt like hours of silence, but in reality, it had only been seconds. That damn stare of his was unnerving.
"Not my people. Make no mistake of that. Do not damn a race for the deeds of a few bad apples."
They were words I had heard before, and they didn't help. The fear was still there, and in an enforcer, it was a fatal one. I was known for putting my foot in my mouth, but I needed him to know one thing. "I'm okay with the entire contract, except one thing." He raised a dark eyebrow.
"Which is?"
"I'm not sleeping with you. I don't care if you're starving and writhing on the fucking floor. I'll walk over you and out that damn door. I'll drag someone else back to you, but it won't be me you feed off of, ever." His lips twitched, but his eyes stayed emotionless.
"Writhing on the floor?"
"Writhing," I confirmed.
"I do not writhe on the floor, ever."
"Good, then we're on the same page," I said smoothly.
The contract says you will. It's a blood oath. So if I start writhing, you will spread those creamy thighs and let me in. Do you know what going back on a blood oath means?
I swallowed, raising both my brows as I tried to think of whether I knew what it meant or not. I exhaled. I was about to learn something new. Marie would have been happy, since she was a staunch believer that you should learn something new every day. No, but I have an inkling I'm about to. His lips twitched again, but it was subtle. If I had blinked, I would have missed it.
Let me enlighten you. If you go back on it, under any circumstances, I can kill you, or worse. You belong to me in every way that matters. If I want you in my bed, make no mistake. That palm of yours will itch and you will be helpless but to fulfill my needs. I say jump, you ask how high. You are bound to me, body and soul, until I say otherwise. You took part of my soul. I just took a piece of yours. Getting it now? Or do I need to show you for you to understand?
I wanted to scream or rip his eyes out. I'm not a piece of fucking property. I cannot be owned.
Quite the opposite. You are mine. As of right now, you belong to me, pet.
Chapter 10. I'd taken off like my ass was on fire the moment I was released from Ryder to retrieve anything I would need for the next few weeks. I'd run into my room and thrown open my laptop, starting it up the moment we'd come inside from being dropped off by the Fae. Turns out I couldn't weasel my way out of the damn contract. He had to end the deal. I couldn't. The contract was indeed a blood oath, sealed by our blood. It was legally binding in the eyes of the Fae and the Witches Guild. It went above that, though. If I broke it or refused to acknowledge it, I would become his in every sense of the word. If he wanted my soul, he just had to say the words. Unless we could find another loophole, which I would need to start looking for now. How could I have been so stupid? I glared at the laptop. This was idiotic. I shouldn't have to move into his house, estate, or whatever he called it. He had mind-fucked me, and in doing so, he'd backed me into a fucking corner. He'd made me see red, and then he'd baited his freaking hook with Adam dipped in chocolate to ensure I signed those damn papers. I had cross-checked the contract, using what little information was available on the Fae in the Guild online library. The Fae, being the weasels they were, counted trickery and coercion as legit when forcing a contract. But I'd already known that without needing to confirm it. I jumped when a soft knock sounded at the door. I stopped pacing long enough to answer it and allowed both Adam and Larissa into the room. "What's up, guys?" I asked carefully. Adam was still regretting showing up at the Fae's club. I'd chewed him out the entire way home and felt like an ass for doing so.
"Sin."
I cut him off, knowing he was settling into another long apology. "It's okay, Adam. I'm over it, and I'm sorry for biting your head off. I need a few things, though, spell-wise." He nodded his dark head as his eyes took in my suitcase.
"You thinking soft spells or more hardcore?"
he asked. My lips twisted into a naughty smile, a man after my own heart. "Hardcore. I don't want to be inside his house more than I have to be." "Alden is going to flip out, Sin. Is it really so bad? You could be finished with this assignment before you know it. This guy is pretty badass, if you haven't noticed." Larissa's voice was quiet but firm. Adam and I both stopped to look at her. She was always the voice of reason, but she hadn't been with us inside that room, nor had she been there when he proclaimed ownership of me. "You don't understand, Laurie. He owns me now. He can decide to keep me. You don't see a problem with that?" I asked, outraged. She shook her head and dropped her hands to her sides. She was of slim build. Her long, dark hair had beautiful, natural curls that most girls would kill for. Her eyes were the color of freshly grown spring grass. She was everything a guy would look for in a mate. Unlike me, who was a normal blonde, which I considered to be a dime a dozen since the light fae had joined the party, bringing with them a new view of what a perfect blonde should look like. Forget Barbie. The fae gave new meaning to feeling inadequate. One of my guild instructors had been quick to point out that I was indeed not the type to ever listen or follow rules, let alone make him a sandwich. I'd agreed. But I would have made his ass a sandwich. He just would have worn it on his face. Yes, I get it. If he reneges on the deal, then I'll be the first in line to fry his balls thin. But right now, there's more at stake than what either of you have been told. Adam snorted as Larissa left the room, only to return moments later with a file in her hand. This is what you were really brought in for. She tossed the file on my bed and crossed her arms while she waited for me to pick it up. Adam and I stared at her, and then at the file that sat discarded on my bed. The red letters, CONFIDENTIAL, were written across the manila envelope, which caught and held my eye. We couldn't tell you until you agreed to the contract, and, well, I know it isn't something we normally look into, but they need us to do this case. We think this has to do with the person or persons trying to get to the light air. I looked up at her as if she'd grown another head. Read it already, Larissa scolded, picking up pacing where I had left off. What is it? Adam asked, afraid, like I wasn't going to pick it up. I blew him a raspberry before picking it up and undoing the metal hook that kept it together. Pictures of dead women slid out of the folder. Gruesome pictures that made bile rise in the back of my throat. What the hell? Dead witches from the Seattle Guild. Some from the guild itself, others are from some of the smaller covens across the state. Oftentimes, their mutilated bodies have been found with some of the dead fae. She paused, nibbling on her lips as she considered telling us more. They're somehow tied to whoever is trying to kill the light heir. That's all we know. None of the guilds sent them out to work with the fae, and yet they were strung up beside them and killed. I sat down as my knees threatened to give out. Adam did the same. This wasn't happening. But Alden throwing me to the wolves made sense now. I stared at picture after picture of dead witches and fae. Their spells are missing, I said, pointing out the missing skin of the witches. And their tongues. The fae are missing glands and other goodies. It's like someone is building a Frankenstein, so to say, Larissa said, finally stopping long enough to point out the mutilated fae that were indeed missing pieces. I considered it, moving to another picture. This one had been picked over. Most spells were written in ink and placed in the skin. They were written in Latin, though, which meant whoever was doing this knew the language or was working with someone who did. The fae, what are they missing exactly? I asked, trying to scan their pictures without throwing up. Someone had cut them open and dissected them. And the fae didn't die easily, which meant someone had some sort of mythical weapon, or had figured out some way to kill them. Sex glands, among a few other things. Another is missing her milk glands. They seem to pick out weak ones, at least that is what the fae seem to think.
If they are killing fae and witches, they have to be killing other creatures.
We both looked up at Adam and waited for him to go on. He shrugged and continued.
Witches and fae have nothing in common, so why them? Why not other creatures, though?
I narrowed my eyes and scrunched up my nose. We both have magic, but why not just hire us if that's what they want? The fae also reported a child stolen 3 days ago from a fae compound in daylight. No one saw anything. Whoever this is has magic, but we think they want more. Larissa said, oblivious to the looks I and Adam were throwing at her. Just how long have you been working on this, Miss I Hurt My Ankle? I barked accusingly. How could she work a case without telling me? I was her head of coven. She was supposed to report any missions or findings to me, and yet I'd known nothing of this before now. I knew you wouldn't be too mad, Sin, because they found this at one of the scenes, and I couldn't tell you. Alden insisted it be kept quiet until we had more information. She tossed a small trinket on the bed. It was my mother's locket. I flinched and picked it up, placing it in my hand. How? Where did you find this? At one of the first scenes. No connection can be made between them and your parents so far, Larissa said and smiled sadly. We were afraid it would dredge up the past too much for you. I snorted. You should have told me, Larissa. Why would someone be killing immortals? I asked myself out loud. It made no sense, but neither did the murders of innocent women. Are we sure it's only women? I asked as an afterthought struck me. So far, why? What are you thinking? Larissa said, narrowing her eyes. And the Fae, they're actually dead, not regenerating? She nodded in confirmation. So whoever this is can kill an immortal Fae and is strong enough to withstand witches' powers? I asked, trying to think of what, if any, creature I'd ever encountered could manage a feat that great. Alden thinks so, but it makes no sense since they're killing witches and Fae for body parts. The only break we've got is they had pictures of Ariana inside one of the crime scenes, with a giant red X on her face. Larissa hesitated, her eyes turning to take in my pale complexion. I'd had enough of the Fae and Ryder. My eyes drifted over the charm, simple yet beautifully crafted. It was hers, and I'd watched the Fae tear it from her neck before leaving the strong, beautiful woman who had raised me, reduced to nothing but a mindless body. Those empty eyes haunted my dreams. She haunted them. Alden says that this might just be a serial killer, but one who is doing it on a massive scale and can kill immortals. The phone in the kitchen rang, and Adam jumped up quickly, leaving the room to answer it, which was a habit of his since he spent more time at our place than at his own. He came back a few seconds later and tossed a curious look at Larissa. Alden's on the line. Says it's urgent that he speaks with you, he said with his eyes narrowed on her. We both watched as Larissa exhaled deeply and headed for the kitchen alone. 2 seconds later, we followed her, too curious as to what Alden wanted to stay in the bedroom and wait. We rounded the corner in time to watch her eyes go wide at whatever was being said on the other end of the phone. She winced.
That can't be good,
Adam said, jumping up to sit on the bare counter and reaching for a jar of peanut butter. Yes, I understand, Larissa said in a strictly professional voice. Yes, we'll go to the scene. She paused, biting her lip and nodded, as if Alden would be able to see the motion. No, I understand, and we'll be nothing but professional. She hung up the phone and turned to Adam, who had grown bored with the conversation and was focused on licking peanut butter off his finger, sucking on it for a moment before he noticed us both staring at him.
What? I got hungry.
We both looked at him and shook our heads. I narrowed my eyes on Larissa. My brain knew what was coming before she said it. It wasn't good. They found another dead Fae. Alden sending us since you're now working for the Dark Prince. His men will assist us at the site. Just freaking peachy.
Let me guess, the prince himself will be there?
Adam said, falling in line with my thoughts. Larissa sighed and nodded slowly. You guys need to be professional. It's one of their own that was killed, and for them, it's huge. Someone is killing off immortals. And witches, I piped in, making sure she hadn't missed that fact. We weren't immortal. She seemed to be forgetting that there was a trail of bodies and the killer of witches and Fae alike on the loose. Whoever it was needed to be stopped and fast. Chapter 11. We pulled up at the recently deceased Fae's house shortly after 5 o'clock. The sun was beginning to set on the horizon, bringing beautiful, contrasting colors to the sour mood of the crowd gathered around the crime scene, trying to catch a peek at the body of the deceased. Apparently, a dead immortal brought out all the freaks. It was a nice yard. Vivid green bushes continuously flowed to the mailbox in the front yard of the small green house. From the flowers and roses planted throughout the yard, it was easy to tell that the fae who lived here had been blessed with green thumbs, or was an actual fairy. The guild had figured out that the difference between fairies and the fae was small, but distinctly there, though the lines between the types of fae often seemed blurred. Ryder and his merry men had more in common with the mythical elves, minus the pointy ears, and they were not exactly gentle folk. These guys would kick your ass, mess with your head, and then probably steal your soul just to liven things up a bit. Fairies, on the other hand, were gentle creatures that preferred to live alone, unless mated. I was willing to bet that since I heard no patter of wings or crying from family, that this one had been alone and unmated. Fairies, like sprites and dryads, were connected to nature and drew from the earth and not the human race, which made them worth keeping around in my book. Myths and legends often had a basis, in fact. How many types of the otherworld creatures were out there was uncertain, and the Fae weren't sharing that kind of information anytime soon. I opened the van door and stepped out, waiting for Adam and Larissa to pile out of the beat-up van designated for official guild business, since it had the guild's name in red down the otherwise white side. My eyes searched the dark fae closest to us and found a pair of narrowed golden eyes watching as we moved closer to the scene. "Here, put these on," the closest fae said, holding out a pair of cloth booties you would see in an operating room on a surgeon. I kept my comment to myself as I took them and put them on over my sneakers. I changed into black fatigues and tank top, which was protocol for members of the guild on a crime scene, or so Larissa said. "How many dead?" I asked quietly, taking in the broken window I could see from the front porch.
"One," Ryder replied, moving over to where we stood. "It's gruesome. Sure you can stomach it?"
he questioned me. "It's a crime scene. I think we can handle it," I mumbled, ignoring his hard stare as I looked around him to the glass shards on the porch. I narrowed my eyes, considering it, and then looked at the untouched flower bed right in front of it. Ryder turned to stand beside me, the electrical current of his power sizzling over my flesh, reminding me of everything he had done to me today already. I dismissed him from my mind, going into enforcer mode, blocking out every sound as I took in what the naked eye would miss. There was an aura trail leading around the back. It was faint, but there, nonetheless. The aura was green and already fading. "The body. Who's been in to see it so far?" I asked.
"We were waiting for your guild. Wasn't aware they were sending you in to help us."
Ryder didn't sound any happier about me being here than I was. "So no one has entered yet?" I asked, stopping and turning my head around as he ran into me. He pulled back instantly, as if I had burned his flesh.
"No. We looked in through a window."
I nodded and started walking again. The trail around back was growing fainter with every second. "It's not a witch, or fae. I've never seen a green aura. Has a slimy feel to it." I could feel his penetrating gaze on my back as I followed the trail, ignoring the house as I walked around to the back. It was as green as the front yard was, with flower pots bursting with beautiful flowers and every hue of the rainbow. My feet hit gravel and I stopped. The green trail from the aura was gone. There were heel imprints in the dirt, which told me it was a woman. There was a car parked here for a quick getaway if needed, but the killer wasn't in a hurry. I scanned the gravel, kneeling down to touch the rocks and measure out the tire print from where the killer had been parked. "There was at least one female in heels here," I said, coming back up. "The car is most likely a Dodge Charger or a similar model, judging by the tread of the tires." I turned, looking at the garage, which had paint from where the car had hit it, and had left us a clue on the red paint on the wall of it. They had obviously hit it on the way out. Red, blood red, or a deep maroon color, I said. Do you realize how many red Chargers are in Spokane? Adam whined. Yep, and I'd say she was around 130 pounds, maybe more, but that's your job, Adam, I said with a smile. He was dangerously good at tracking that kind of information down and narrowing it down to a number we could work from.
You got all that from following a trail?
Durston asked, coming up behind us. I turned and gave him a leveled stare with a slight nod before turning back to the garage. I chewed at my lip before looking closely at the lock for tampering.
You guys smell that?
I asked, turning to take in the Faye's reactions to my questions.
Yeah, it's fertilizer from Barry,
Ryder said, crossing his arms over his immaculate white lawn shirt. He wore loose-fitting jeans with off-black boots that made him seem almost human, if he wasn't glaring with his brutal air of authority.
It reeks, I complained before walking off in the other direction without waiting to see if anyone followed me.
The evening air was chilling, but manageable. The sunset was now vibrant shades of orange and red with a cloudless sky. It was chilling how beautiful it was outside in the face of a tragedy. The world around us had not stopped just because of the tragedy inside. I think that was one of the things that bothered me the most the day my parents had been brutally murdered. Outside, the sun had been shining, welcoming. It had pissed me off, even at 5.
Planning on killing the sun?
Ryder asked, keeping up with me easily with his long gait. I stopped to remove the booties on the steps of the porch and held out my hands for new ones, slipping them on just as quickly before I stepped onto the porch and looked through the window. The glass is outside, I remarked.
Yeah, they broke the window to get in,
Tristan said quietly from behind me. No, she let her killer inside. If they had gone through the window, the glass would be on the inside from being broken into.
Smart. So the killer broke it on their way out?
Ryder asked, narrowing his eyes on the glass at our feet. I nodded carefully, keeping my eyes on the figure slumped in the small wooden chair in her kitchen. Ropes held her in place, and she was missing part of her face. There were also holes in her shoulders from either being stabbed or pinned by something. My stomach recoiled at the sight, but I pushed back against it, shaking my head.
It's bad inside,
Ryder said in a low voice. You don't investigate things like this normally? I asked, trying to dispel the image of my father that filtered briefly through my mind. I pulled my eyes away from the body to look up into his eyes.
No, it's not often we find our own dead.
He growled from low in his chest, moving to open the door. I followed slowly, the stench of death overwhelming as the door was thrown open wide. I scanned the room briefly. 2 teacups with green tea sat on a breakfast nook table, along with knives that I was betting had not been part of tea time. The carpets that were once white were splattered with blood from the brutality of the murder that occurred there. I tilted my head, looking at the eyeless face that was facing the floor. She'd trusted whomever she had let inside her house, and she'd paid for it with her life. Blood had been used to write scribe marks across the wall in the language of the dead. She knew her killer enough that she made tea and sat down with her to talk, I said, narrowing my eyes on the symbols on the wall. Can you read the message? I asked carefully.
It's a warning, and a draining glyph. Mirza didn't have much power, though. She was, after all, a simple earth fairy, good at growing, but otherwise not powerful by any means.
No, but she was beautiful. Maybe this killer isn't just sucking out power, but beauty as well, I mumbled, tilting my head to better look at the missing skin of the poor woman's fingers. She is missing her eyes, her fingertips, and...
Oh, wow. I swallowed violently against the nausea rising once more. The white pants were open, and her woman parts were completely missing, including her womb. Was she... I stopped, clearing my voice again as I took an involuntary step backward. Was she breeding? Ryder hissed with anger, his eyes doing his glowing thing again and filling with his outrage.
No, she was in waiting. She was to be married to a water sprite next week. She chose this house because of the portal one block over that leads to the main garden inside Ferry.
That makes no sense. Why would someone steal her organs? Eyes can be used for certain spells. I switched into second sight and took in the scene around us. Instantly, I felt the air crackle and the room went deathly silent, as if everyone knew what was coming but couldn't do anything about it. The air was charged, and everything felt as if it was moving in slow motion. The Fae looked at us, as we looked at them. Horror filled the small room as I turned and looked at the body of the deceased. My hand began to itch painfully. Adam and Larissa's hands sought my shoulders as they pushed their own powers into me. The moment the connection was made, I brought my hands out wide, drawing them in a circle before my palms slapped together. And then the room exploded. Wood from the roof splintered and hit the protection field I'd created, violently sending spasms through my body. It was a part of me. I was consuming the damage so that the others could be protected. The Fae might have been able to live through the blast, but my friends wouldn't have. I turned, looking over at the Fae, who still stared at us. Ryder's eyes narrowed as he took in the pinched strain on my face. Blood was pumping loudly inside my ears, making it impossible to hear what he was saying. Sweat broke out on my brow as Adam and Larissa kept their hands touching my flesh, feeding me power to keep the protective barrier up. The room was still glowing from the bomb that had gone off. The body was no longer in the chair that once held it. This had been a trap, or a warning. We needed to get outside, but I didn't have enough power to move the bubble, even with the added powers.
Sen!
Larissa shouted as blood erupted from my nose. Ryder moved in, closing the distance, his eyes scanning my face.
Why is it hurting her?
He demanded in an angry voice that scraped on my nerves.
She took the brunt of the explosion. The spell is a reflection of her. Her magic is the base of it, so she takes the damaged portion of it.
I wanted to tell Larissa to shut it. Ryder didn't need to know my secrets, or that I was the only witch who had ever been able to wield this certain spell. My body grew heavy. The room was still ablaze. Thick, putrid smoke that could suffocate my team still lingered. I turned my head, ignoring the dizziness that assaulted my mind as I searched for the door. It had been blown closed in the explosion. Ryder noticed where I was looking and moved into action.
Dristan, we need to get them out of here. Zaruk, clear the room.
They all ducked as Dristan and Zaruk stepped up and held hands, chanting in the language of the Fae. It was taking every ounce of energy I had to concentrate while keeping the barrier between the fire and us in place. In the few moments it took them to get the words out, the house gave an audible shake that I felt down inside my bones and exploded outward. The moment it did, I fell and almost hit the floor. But Ryder was quick as he reached out and grabbed beneath my arms to pull me against his tall frame, already moving away from the carnage that looked as if a nuclear bomb had been dropped on the house instead of a small bomb. I closed my eyes, unable to keep them open any longer, and gave in to oblivion for a moment. The warmth that surrounded me was welcomed and comforting, even if it was because I was now being cradled in the Dark Prince's arms.
Lay her down gently. I can heal her, Larissa assured him, but I felt him tense as if questioning her motives.
Please, I whispered, hating that I had to ask him for anything, but I needed her to heal the pain that was threatening to become relentless. I felt the cool grass as it met my tender skin, wet with the evening dew. I felt Larissa's hands as she placed them, one on my heart and one on my forehead,
as she performed the healing white magic she was known for. It was also why she wasn't included on a lot of our missions. Enforcers didn't normally need a healer for killing. "The scene," I whispered, realizing that any chance we had to find the person responsible for the brutal murder was gone.
"Destroyed,"
Ryder growled, standing up to his full height. I stretched my neck, testing out the pain in my head before I sat up. I then stood so he wasn't so tall. Not that it helped, since the guy was freakishly large, but looking at him from flat on my back on the cold, damp ground was just not an option. When I made it to my entire 5'6" stance, I felt down my back and hips, making sure I was still in one piece. This day sucked, big time. I'd felt an itching in my hand long before I felt the air sizzle around us, a reminder that I was connected to him now. As if it wasn't bad enough that we had been standing inside a house with a woman missing her most delicate parts, the only reason I knew something was wrong was because of the blasted contract. I needed more coffee before I could deal with this crap. I wasn't sure if there was enough coffee in the entire world to deal with the Fae, though. I turned, watching the smoke waft up into the chilly evening air, thick plumes of it as a stark reminder of how close we'd come to death tonight.
"You prevented us from taking damage. Thank you,"
Saruk said softly, surprising me more than if he'd said my ass was on fire. "I saved my coven," I replied quietly, unsure how to accept his compliment. His lips twisted up into a smirk.
"Still, I don't fancy a night in a healing tank, so thank you."
I nodded, at a loss for what he expected. He was Fae, and thanking me for saving him from being harmed. It went against everything I stood for, and yet, with the binding of the contract, I'd been helpless to do anything less than save Ryder, which was a bitter pill to swallow. I turned back, looking at the onlookers. No one in the crowd stood out. The green aura wasn't present among any of those standing across the yellow line of tape. I'd never seen that color of aura before, not from any of the creatures we had trained to combat or assassinate, which wasn't a good thing. "What creature has a green aura?" I asked as Adam stepped up beside me, his eyes scanning me for bodily damage.
"Ask them."
He tilted his head in the direction of the Fae. I scrunched my face in distaste. "Hey, you guys know what leaves a green aura trail behind?" I shouted, loud enough to be heard by the Fae and not the press who had just arrived on scene. Ryder looked past me to where the press was currently setting up their cameras and gear to start filming. If they hurried, they would make the 11 o'clock news.
"Time to go. Now,"
he growled as his men fell in line with his long, angry strides. As he walked past us, I watched his jeans hug his firm backside. The crowd erupted, raising the noise level as more press charged the line, having seen the dark prince as he walked in the direction of the black Cadillac SUVs. He stopped a few feet from me and turned back, lifting a single dark brow.
"You need to come with us. I trust you finished packing before you followed secondary orders,"
he asked smoothly, his thick, rich baritone flowing through me. "Any secondary orders?" "I belong to the guild, first and foremost, Ryder. I am packed, and like a good little doggy, I will follow on your heels, in our car," which I highly doubted could keep up with his. Sarcasm dripped like honey from my lips, but if he heard it, he chose to ignore it.
"Do so,"
he replied in the same casual, bored tone he had when I had signed his bloody binding contract. He smiled, showing his teeth as he turned and walked the short distance to his car. "This is keeping my Kevin alive. Just breathe, Cynthia. Just breathe." I repeated the mantra inside my head. Apparently, I'd developed passing out as a way to deal with this entire freaking situation, and that was just not okay. "Was that professional enough for Alden?" I asked, watching Larissa nod as she spoke quietly into the phone.
It bugged me that she had been in the know of what was happening around us and had excluded us from it. She'd known I was being set up for the interview. She'd known how much I hated the Fae, yet she'd kept it to herself. We were supposed to be a team, and since most covens had 10 to 12, and we only had 3, we depended on honesty and the closeness we shared to stay alive. Larissa following Alden and keeping us in the dark wasn't something I could let slide. Our lives depended on it. Chapter 12. We followed them out of Spokane, back down the highway I'd already been on twice today. The van was filled with silence. It was something unusual for our group since we normally had a lot to talk about, even if they were mundane things. I replayed the scene over inside my head. It had been horrific and calculated. We were dealing with someone who liked to watch the victim endure the pain, who got off on the perverse, sadistic need of the kill. The victim had known her attacker. She'd let them in. If her house was anything to go off of, she'd been planning on the killer visiting, minus the whole killing part. It meant she'd known her killer and had wanted to make a good impression. I still wasn't sure if there were more killers that might have joined them after the first killer arrived. I shoved thoughts of the crime scene away as we followed the dark SUVs in through a 12-foot-high metal gate that safeguarded Ryder's personal living quarters, located just a few miles from his club. When I opened the door to get out, Adam stopped me by placing his hand gently on my shoulder. "Sin, be careful. I know you only signed to keep us safe, but we're nothing without you." I smiled sadly. "Adam, you're stronger than you think you are. You guys..." I paused, needing them to know they would be okay if I didn't make it back to them. "If I don't make it out of this, go back to the guild. Damien has a great coven, and he's a fair leader. I need to know you'll be okay if I don't make it back." They both stared at me. I could see the confusion in their eyes, but it wasn't like I was giving up on them. Just the opposite. I was giving them an out. If I fucked this up, they would be used against me. I was smart enough to know that it wasn't if, it was when I did. "No fucking way, Sin. We were a team since before boot camp. No fucking way. We belong together. We always have. You knew before we started this that it was a touchy group. We knew he'd want to use us. So let the fucker try." Adam seethed. I exhaled slowly. "Adam, I can't do this if I'm worrying that you're okay. I need to know before I get out of this van that if I screw up, you're protected. Give me this. Do you understand what I'm saying?" I met his green stare as he struggled to agree with what I needed him to do. Larissa was struggling too, but it was by no means as much as Adam was. I should have questioned it, but I could feel the hard eyes of the Fae watching my back as I tried to make Adam agree. "This is stupid. You're coming back to us." "You're right, Adam. And seriously, I'd always come back to you."
"How cute."
Ryder's voice tore away the seriousness of the moment. I turned back in the seat and glared at him. Adam's hand still rested on my shoulder with a familiar caress from being as close as siblings. Ryder's eyes went to his hand and narrowed sharply. His face took on a harshness I was not familiar with. It sent a shockwave of shivers right down to my toenails.
"Get out of the car, Cynthia. Now."
"I'm saying my goodbye to my actual friends," I growled, finding strength in my anger as the shock dropped away.
"They're coming in. Alden has agreed that since the killer is now stepping up the killings, it is best if we keep your small group here, to go out as needed with a speed we can only achieve if everyone drives out together."
His eyes hadn't left mine yet. I fisted my hands at my side, remembering the warning that he'd been in trouble before my other senses had kicked in to warn me of my own coven's immediate danger. If he was close and in trouble when the coven was around, they'd be safe. As much as it sucked, it was ideal. Plus, I'd get to keep them close. Fine. Bet they'll need to go back to town and pack a bag or two, I mumbled, waiting for him to move away from blocking my escape from the van.
Zaruk will accompany them into town. First, we need to get the details down while they are fresh.
He challenged, his eyes probing mine as if I'd argue to go with them. I'd argue anything with him. After I had a frickin' nap.
You intend to hold the meeting here in the van?
I looked down and instantly regretted it as I took in his muscular form. I brought my eyes back up level with his. Or are you gonna move so we can get to it? He stepped back, but just barely. I hopped out, feeling every muscle scream in protest as I did so. Stupid bomb. Stupid Faye. Stupid killer. And, oh, what a stupid day. I swallowed the cry that threatened to push past my lips and slid the van door open to grab my bags, gritting my teeth as I hefted them onto my shoulder.
Sin, I'll get them, Adam said, stepping from the van and reaching for the bags.
Ryder was closer and faster.
I have them. They need to be searched for weapons before I will allow them inside the mansion.
The property was huge. In the center of the front drive, a giant fountain merrily cascaded water out down the pile of round black rocks it was built from. Runes. The ancient lettering on the flat, smooth surface were runes, written in what I assumed was Fae. It had been just light enough outside to see that the mansion was a light color and a few stories tall, but other than that, it was impossible to make out the details.
Protection runes from fairy, Saruk said, coming up to stand in front of the group walking to the house.
Ryder handed off the bags to Saruk, holding them for a moment as they met and locked eyes briefly. I knew something silent had passed between them. I watched his back as he took off toward the large entryway that was surprisingly well lit, considering it was darker than normal without the lights of the city. I scanned the threshold as we approached. To the naked eye, it would look welcoming, but with my second sight still up, I could see the highlighted glowing marks of the words the Fae had placed around the property that kept anyone wishing to harm them out. Similar to the ones inside my bedroom, but these ones were a lot stronger. These ones wouldn't just hurt you, they'd kill you.
Drop the wards, I growled, feeling fear for my coven. They stay up,
Ryder said, guarding his expression closely. I turned, looking at the faces behind me, and shook my head. I was so sick of this day that I just wanted it over already.
You two okay? I asked, quietly knowing it would be heard by everyone around me. It's okay, Sin. I don't plan on killing anyone today,
Adam said with a smile and an impish wink. I yawned, waiting for Larissa to answer, and when she finally nodded, I turned and stepped through the door. I felt the slight sizzle as the spell tested my mind to check for hidden threats. I don't know who was more disappointed that it let me through, Ryder or me. I turned, shaking my head, waiting for Adam and Larissa to follow. When both had been approved by the warding spells, I turned and took in the mass of stairways that led through the upper floors. The entryway in which we stood was lit on a major scale that made my pockets hurt just thinking of the electric bill this place must have every month. Funny how growing up can change your opinion of being afraid of the dark and afraid of the bills. The place looked sterile, even though it was beautiful. Rich cream colors covered the walls, and a wide staircase was positioned about 30 or so feet in that led to the upper levels. Asete sat in the middle of the room, made of deep chocolate brown suede, with standing lights on either side of it, probably so you could sit while waiting for the prince to get off his ass and make an appearance. As we moved closer to the stairs, I looked up, taking in the magnificent wraparound balcony that circled the third floor. The layout was open so you could see everything from the landing. This place was huge, and I felt for the maid, whoever she was. We walked single file, with Adam bringing up the rear, through several more rooms and hallways, before we were led to a room with the mark of Trinity above the doorframe. I mentally prepared for the feeling of being drained and wondered if I'd give in to being a weak-ass girl and pass out if the room was warded against magic. Today had been too much. Tomorrow wasn't looking any better. But I was a survivor, and I had this in the bag. As long as I didn't end up bagging the Dark Prince and tossing his body in the lake a few miles away. I stepped through and exhaled as no pain took over my mind, and no blasted past was thrown in my face. I looked up in time to catch the Fae watching me. For what? I'd passed the test at the front door, and I hadn't felt any spelling of the walls here. Had I missed something? I turned, looking back as Larissa was thrown back and landed on the floor, her face pinched with pain as she looked up at me. Larissa? How did you get through? Larissa whispered, her eyes wide as she stood back up and looked at me with confusion stamped on her lovely features. I turned, glaring at the Fae. Enough of these fucking tests. I saved your asses today, now let them in.
Fine. But first, tell me how you just walked through a ward that should have knocked you on your ass.
Ryder said, crossing his arms over his chest to glare at me. Easy. I stepped the hell through it.
Only Fae are able to cross it without being invited.
He continued. Then it's broken, because I assure you I am not Fae. Chapter 13. Stop looking at me like that. Witch here, remember? I am not a flipping fairy.
How did you pass through this spell? It's not broken. I placed it myself.
The demon growled. I'd hoped to not encounter him again. So much for hoping. I told you I stepped over it. I'm not Fae. If I was, wouldn't you guys have picked up on it already? I challenged Riston, crossing my arms over my chest as I pegged him with a glare.
Indeed. He snarled. Enough. She cannot be of Fae blood without us being able to smell it, and I, for one, don't smell anything besides human on her.
Ryder spat, like I was something distasteful, and moved further into the room, taking a seat at the far end of a huge oval table that engulfed most of the meeting room. The others quickly followed his lead and left us standing. Convenient. His 13 men, who always seemed to be with him, had taken seats as if they had been pre-assigned, or there was some sort of pecking order to their arrangement. The room had slate-black walls that mimicked stone, and under any other circumstances, I'd have given them more attention, but my curiosity was firmly on the murders. I still hurt like hell, and the healing process wouldn't fully work until I slept.
How do you know she knew her killer?
Ryder asked, jumping straight to business and ignoring the fact that we had been left standing like hired help. She made tea. I mumbled, bringing my hand up to rub the back of my neck where the pain was starting to become unbearable.
She made tea? And that alone tells you she knew her killer?
This was from Riston, who had his eyes zeroed in on me. She cleaned. She made tea. Yes, sounds lame, but seriously, there was no dust in her front room. The window was broken from inside the house, the killer or killers weren't rushed, and she opened the door for them. The car was parked out back, so if the killer had been trying to break in to kill the victim, why the hell wouldn't she go through the back window, which was low enough for her to break and slide through easily? It seems pretty stupid to even consider the fact that she would go through a window on the front porch in daylight hours, and what she did inside. I shivered as small bumps broke out across my skin from the image of what had been inside that tiny green house. It wasn't done in minutes. It was precise, and the killer only took what they wanted. There were no cuts anywhere else that didn't serve a purpose.
You got all of that from the few minutes inside the house,
Saruk asked, a slow whistle accompanying his sarcasm. Yes, I replied, trying not to show how tired I was.
You think a woman did it? Ryder asked carefully.
No, I don't think. I know at least one of the killers was a woman. There was mauve-colored lipstick left on the glass. The victim wore no makeup. The heel impressions in the gravel and dirt also confirm my theory. He considered it, and then spoke softly.
Why would a woman take another's uterus and ovaries?
I ignored it. I had no freaking idea why anyone would do something so horrendous. What leaves a green aura trail in its wake? I asked, after a few moments of awkward silence. 14 heads shook their reply.
They took her eyes. She wasn't a power fae. She was an earth fairy, for fuck's sake.
Ryder snapped testily. I dropped my arm and felt my knees sag briefly before I caught myself. Ryder noticed it, though. There wasn't much he didn't notice.
Are we boring you? He asked harshly. She took a bomb today,
Adam replied before I could.
She has yet to sleep, which means she hasn't healed enough and needs to do so soon.
Stop it, Adam. I lashed out, not wanting it pointed out that I was vulnerable until I'd slept.
No, Sin. You saved their fucking asses today. And ours. No one else could have prevented it from killing all of us. You shouldn't be swaying on your feet. You should be sleeping, and you know it.
Oh, hell, he was pissed. I'm fine, I whispered, lacking the tone I had been aiming for by a long shot. 14 sets of eyes looked in my direction. I felt the weight of every pair as they took in my pale skin and the blood that was still crusted to my nose. I felt on display and it burned through me, making my spine a little straighter and my eyes a little brighter.
Saruk, show them to the rooms I've selected for each of them and see that Cynthia is placed in the red room.
Ryder said, dismissing us.
Oh, hell no. No red room of pain, I snapped angrily. I was big into reading, and no way in hell was I entering a red room of pain in this place. I'd seen his kinky room in his towers already.
Ryder's lips twitched, but otherwise he gave no sign that he knew of what I was talking about. Larissa, on the other hand, snorted with laughter until I turned my glare on her. I was bitchy when I was in pain, and I was doing my best to stay upright at the moment.
I assure you, there is nothing inside the red room. It's a bedroom. We call it the red room because everything inside of it is, well, red.
Saruk said, scratching his head in confusion over my dislike of red. I nodded, unable to care any longer. I needed to find a bed and throw myself in it before I turned into a pansy ass and fainted again. I turned without giving the fae around the table another thought. We walked through the halls and back toward the stairway. I lifted my head and looked up with a grumble. Grinding my teeth, I stepped forward to start up the stairs, but a hand at the small of my back stopped me cold. I turned, coming face to chest with Ryder, knowing him instantly by his rich, unique scent alone.
Change your mind and decided to make me elaborate on something else? I mumbled, feeling my eyes as they grew heavy.
No,
he replied softly, picking me up as I cried out, trying to bring my legs back down to the ground.
Hold still or I will drop you on your head. On second thought, it might knock some sense into you.
I felt him moving up the steps, and even with the fear rising, I couldn't make my mind work. My body needed to heal, and I'd been careless, knowing what would happen all along. I settled further into his arms, resting my head on his shoulder as he curved his arm around my legs, keeping far enough away from my ass that I felt safe and not lusted after for the moment. Or maybe it was just sleep talking. I inhaled his spicy scent deeply before I opened my eyes to find him watching me do so.
Great. That's all I needed right now. Smell the dark prince who is carrying you up the damn stairs like Cinder frickin' Ella.
His lips turned up in the corners as if he'd heard my snappy internal comment. I was so stupid when I was tired. Luckily, I hadn't sighed with bliss as I'd wanted to. I could have walked, I mumbled, not knowing if the words even came out since my mind was blanketed with the calm feeling of settling into sleep.
My ass. You are not fine. You can hardly stand up. Admitting to weakness after doing what you did today is not the same as being weak.
I didn't answer him. Couldn't. My mind gave in and sleep overtook me until I felt myself being lowered from his arms, which caused me to automatically grab onto him and pull him with me, which was just another dumb thing I had done today. I should have started a list, but I was pretty sure the pen would have run out of ink by now. Our faces touched slightly, cheek to cheek, before he moved his face around until our lips were way too close for comfort. Mine shivered violently, which caused him to cuss as he pulled away and brought the blankets up and over me.
You need a healer. You're the most stubborn human I have ever met.
He growled, reaching for the phone. No, Faye. Call Larissa. I whispered through the chattering of my teeth.
She left. Zaruk took her to get some stuff from that shithole you call a home. Besides, she already tried to heal you.
He mumbled before setting the phone back down.
I can heal you. It won't be like she did, but the only other alternative is we wait. Or I get in bed with you to warm you up and stop the incessant chattering.
I'm fine, I said, barely audible past the chattering of my teeth.
No, the word is stubborn as hell. Choose. Either I can undress and climb in bed with you, I won't be responsible for what happens if I do, or I can heal you enough that you can sleep. Decide.
He growled angrily, showing his teeth set together. You are not getting in this bed, I mumbled, trying to keep my eyes open.
Fine, then close your eyes,
he said, already placing his hand on my shoulder, which was bare. I felt his warmth pushing through his fingertips and into my system. It felt intimate and disturbing at the same time. No, no, stop. He didn't. He continued sending those butterfly fingers over my skin, caressing my shoulder, which pushed the pain away with every wave of fey magic he pushed into my system. The rush of heat made my eyes heavy, and I wasn't able to keep them open any longer. I listened to his breathing as he pushed healing powers through me, calm and unlabored, unlike Larissa when she healed me. Her powers came from spells and used energy to heal, whereas his must come from dark magic, bred from his race. I fought to keep my eyes open and watch as his face took on a dark hue, his eyes turning into twin embers as they met and held mine.
If you make me, I will induce sleep so you can heal. I don't need some half-brained female screwing shit up because she's too weak to admit when she needs to rest. I hissed, or I tried to. It came out sounding more like a moan than anything else.
I can't go to sleep with you in my room.
It's not that you can't, you just won't. Sleep. We need to catch a killer tomorrow. If the pattern keeps, it will be a witch that dies next.
I stared at him for a few moments, hating how much sense he had just made. There was a killer loose, and he was right. If the pattern was spot on, then we would be finding a dead witch within the next few days. I exhaled and closed my eyes, feeling the heat of his stare on me as I succumbed to sleep. Chapter 14. I awoke to the deep, rich scent of coffee. My eyes popped open to find Larissa staring down at me with a positively magical Starbucks venti cup. I love you, I mumbled before coming up to rest on my elbows.
You better. This place had no coffee. Can you believe that? Not a single freaking bean in this entire place. Who lives like that?
She droned on as she extended her hand when I had finally made it into a sitting position and handed me the hot latte. The Fae don't drink coffee, Lari. They drink us.
That's so wrong,
she chirped, moving from where she had been sitting in the small chair beside the bed to finish opening the drapes, allowing more sun to blind me. She was dressed in yoga pants and a black tank top, as if we were at home gearing up for our daily workout.
Going running? No, there's an actual gym they said we could use. I wanted to keep on schedule since afterward we need to meet up with Alden and the team from the guild to go over the game plan for tonight. She stopped talking and looked back over her shoulder, tilting her head as if she were thinking of something before she continued. You should